Turn in your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you have read some of your Bible a while or been around preaching for a while, you know that this is the chapter in the New Testament on charity. And the thought came to mind that this is the Bible's love language. Let me tell you more about it, but first let's go and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're very thankful today to bow before your throne and ask for your help. The beauty is we don't have to depend upon ourselves. We've prayed, we've read, we've studied, we've prepared. There's notes here. Lord, we could have all of that, and we're here. We could have the gifts and the time to pay tribute to mothers. But if you're not amongst us to work mightily through the preaching of the Word of God, then we've assembled, we've had good fellowship, we've enjoyed the time together. But there's nothing of eternal value accomplished. Yet if you're here, which in your scripture you say that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. If you'll answer this prayer, fill us with your Holy Spirit, me so I can preach the words that you want spoken, us so we can receive the words you want us to hear. Father, you can make eternal differences in our lives today. Things can happen here that no man can produce, that please you, that honor you, that glorify you, that magnify your words, that change our lives. Our prayer is, Father, that this is what you'll do, and that not only will we have enjoyed the fellowship and the time to honor mothers, but more importantly, we will have enjoyed your presence among us and your words among us and the changes you're making in our lives forever. This is what we want to see you do today. For we ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when it comes to the subject of love and relationships, many of you have probably read a book called The Five Love Languages, and if you haven't read it, you may have heard somebody speak about it. And those love languages have things to do with acts of service and affirmation and touch and stuff like that, so that that you're able to communicate your love to somebody in a way that they know you're demonstrating love, and they're able to receive the love in a way that they know that they are receiving your love, and it goes like that. And as I think about those love languages, I think obviously there's some validity to them. But I also know that those are things that anybody can do. Anybody saved or lost can follow and give a word of affirmation, or can do an act of service, or can, you know, have just the right touch at the right time. You don't have to be saved to do that. But to have charity, you got to be saved. That's something that cannot be done by human beings naturally. That's something that's done by God through us supernaturally. And so today, when we talk about Mother's Day and we talk about honoring and loving mothers, I like the idea of being able to express our love with charity. Because that's supernatural. That's something that's greater than faith. That's something that's greater than hope. That's something divine. That's something sublime. That's something supernatural. And I would say Christian women, Christian mothers are deserving of that kind of love. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says a lot about charity and the importance of charity in his ministry. But rather than read those first three verses that talk about we're nothing if we've done all these great things for God and we've done them without charity, and I'd like to get into the actual description of what charity is and what it does, beginning in verse 4. Notice, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. Now that description of charity is fabulous. And frankly, we could meditate upon these things, study these things, define words we're not familiar with, begin practicing these, and I will tell you in time, if God is working in your life, you're going to notice your life change and the way you love people change by the words you've read in those verses right there. I think we would say that this, we could call the Bible's love language. And this love language, I would like to say, is appropriate for mothers. All right, now some of us, like in my case, my mother has been gone now 2 years and died just a couple of weeks before Mother's Day. And so I don't have that opportunity to show that level of expression of love for my mother. But you know something, husbands? Isn't it strange, this is Mother's Day, but our wives expect us to do something nice for them. Now you go to the card shop and there's a whole row of cards there for husbands to give to their wives on Mother's Day. Why? Because she's the mother of our children. And that's so in that it's appropriate. And so today we have husbands that are here, married to wives who have brought forth children to our relationship. We have children here whose mothers are still alive and whose mothers may even be here today. And then we have those kinds of relationships. We have children for mothers and husbands for mothers. And I believe that we should talk about the verses we've read here today because these are the Bible's love language. And I think they're very appropriate for moms. And the first thing I would say is this in verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. All right, so the first way in the order of these verses that we should be able to love our mothers is with long suffering and kindness. Notice the verse where he says, charity suffereth long, comma, and is kind, semicolon. Do you see that? Punctuation is important. He didn't just say, charity suffereth long. It's not just long-suffering demonstration of love for your mother, but it is simultaneously long-suffering and kindness. You've been around people, and you are people. And I've seen children and husbands who, when they are in the company of, for the husband, his wife, or for the children, their mother, they look like they're suffering. Long. And in the process, they are not very kind. You ever seen that before? I'm not going to ask you if you've ever done that before. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit ask you that question because this message and this part of this message may, as they say, tie the rag on the bush. And you might find that you've been putting up with your mom for a long time, but you hadn't been very kind. Shh. Don't give it away. You know, I'll be frank with you. I mean, let's just do that, okay? Let's be frank. You know what I love about preaching? You should be and can be truthful. It always disturbs me when the preacher has preached for about 30 minutes and then he says, now I'm telling you the truth, I'm not preaching. I'm like, well, what have you been doing for the last 30 minutes then? I think that preaching should be truthful, and as they say, sometimes the truth hurts. But you know something? You have to put up with stuff from moms. If you don't want to say amen because she's in the vicinity, you can at least give me a little head nod and I know we're on the same page. But I want to tell you something. Moms have one of the toughest jobs in the world. And they don't earn a wage for what they do. You know, you go somewhere and it says, do you have an employer? No. Do you work? No. Yes, you do. You know, a homemaker, as if that's like a low, demeaning, not much to it job. I beg to differ, don't y'all? Moms have a tough job. And they don't get paid for it. So I would say this, be kind to her when you're putting up with her stuff. She's deserving. You know, I look back on the days of Bible college. I don't look back on those days very often. For one thing, they're in the distant past now, but when we went to Florida to go to Bible college and I started working, I had been in a bank and now I'm pouring concrete. Okay, so I gotta get up 5:30 in the morning, do the Bible reading, eat breakfast, get in the car, drive 45 minutes to an hour, depends on the traffic, pour concrete all day, come rushing home just in time to get the books, right to school, 4 hours a night, four nights a week, come home, supper's ready at 10:15, we eat, and then we take a walk. Somebody had to deal with the house and those four kids, 7, 5, 3, and Monster. Right? All day long, get them up, do all the things you have to do with them, put them to sleep, and somehow or another, I to this day, I don't know how that got done aside from the grace of God. So I've told Ann before, and I'll tell you publicly, if we get any reward for anything that we've been able to do in the ministry, she gets it. But I'll say, sometimes you have to put up with their stuff. But be kind when you do. Because this is not easy. You know, the Pharisees, when you read in the Bible, the Pharisees devised a scheme whereby a child could basically pay his way out of having to honor his mother and father. They called it Corban, which is probably the English transliteration of the Hebrew word. Nevertheless, what it basically meant is, you know, he's not getting along with mom, and so what he does is he gets some money together and gives it to her, and it's like, I am now released from my obligation to honor you. I have paid you instead. May I tell you something? There is not enough money in the entire world to compensate her for the honor she deserves. And that's true. And that's true. So when you think in terms of the love that we have for our wives, children that you have for your mothers, remember this, charity suffereth long and is kind. It all goes together. Do it with a smile on your face. Oh, mom, you know I love you. And mean it. Notice also in the text that in verse 4, after the next part, which says, charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Well, what is to vaunt oneself? We don't use the word, but I thank God for a dictionary. I've told people before when they hit a word in the Bible they don't understand. I said, well, pick up a dictionary and look it up. Even if you think you do understand it, you ought to look it up. You might find that it means something you didn't know. And now you've improved your vocabulary and you also understand what you're reading. At least the understanding that comes from defining the words. The full understanding comes from the Spirit of God. Vaunteth not itself. To vaunt oneself is to boast. Is to brag is what it is. That's to vaunt oneself. I can remember back in the days when we used to work at the ranch in the summers and all those cowboys were there and, you know, doing some stuff, and every once in a while a cowboy would, in working the cattle, would do a pretty spectacular thing with a cow that was getting pretty wild. And he'd turn around to the cowboys that were watching or that were on horseback that happened to see it, and he'd say, all fact, no brag. Like, I don't have to boast about this. You just saw how good I am. All right, well, so to vaunt oneself is to boast. To be puffed up is to swell with pride. We used to say he's like a bullfrog. Or to swell with pride, or to be conceited. We used to say he's too big for his britches. His head is, anyway. You know, in these perilous times of 2 Timothy chapter 3, which we refer to from time to time, children and husbands are, among other things, lovers of their own selves, boasters, and proud. Okay? And so when you're there at the house and you have somebody that takes care of you, children, and you, husbands, the way your wife does, if you've got to boast about somebody, boast about her. Let me try that again. If you have to be boasting about somebody, you boast about her. Yeah. You know, the work she does is, a lot of times, is just mundane. How do you put a big gold star right here? Wow, I really washed the dishes well today. Right? But if you come home and land a big deal at your office, or you come home from school and you've made a really good grade, you're expecting somebody to put the big gold star on you. You know, and drive around town with a bumper sticker that says, "My child is an honor student at such and such a school." So she's always having to, I mean, you're already boasting and proud enough on your own without her help that you need her to run around town and let everybody else in town know how good you are. I don't know if, I hope there are not any of those bumper stickers on the cars outside, but there may be. There may be, but the point is, I don't see anybody riding around town with a bumper sticker that says, "I've got the greatest mom in the world." Have you ever, I don't see those. Do you see those? I don't see those. How come nobody's putting out a gold star? Well, because doing the laundry, ironing clothes, keeping the house clean, cooking a good meal is like not spectacular. But it should be. It should be. I mean, if you get a good meal on the table and your wife, your mother had something to do with that, you ought to thank God for that. There's some women that can't do that or won't. I you know, to this day, I still thank Ann after each meal. I thanked her today after breakfast and did the dishes. Okay. I get, because would somebody please give me the star? You know. See how we are? I mean, I've already slipped one in on a message all about moms and wives, and I'm slipping in a little boast about it. I did the dishes. And everybody's like, "Wow, man, our preacher did the dishes on Sunday, no less." But I still thank her for that. But, you know, the reason you want to do that is you want to make sure that you get that meal again. On two occasions, which I remember, we got the meal we don't want to see again. And you got to be real careful with that one, because she still deserves the star for effort, but maybe not with lights on it, you know. Gonzalo was at our house, and he came over for discipleship. He loved her cooking, and he tolerated my teaching. And so he was coming over to our house, and one day he's sitting there, and he's eager, and the plate comes, and we're eating, and I look at him, and boy, we're just wondering how we're going to get through this meal. And Ann said, "So how do you like it?" And he's like, "Oh, it's so good. It's just really good." Because he never would say anything but complimentary things. And I looked at him and I said, "What are you saying?" She said to me, "So, Dad, what do you think about it?" And I said, "Ann, I really appreciate the effort that you went to give us this meal, but let's not have this one again." Throw a little kindness in there. And he's all looking at me like that. I said, "You don't want to eat this again, do you?" And he goes, "Well, no." I said, "Well, then somebody's got to tell her." But brag on her. I mean, really, you know, if you got clean clothes in the closet and in the dresser and the floor is, you can walk on it barefoot, that may not seem like a heroic thing she's been doing for the last 40 years. That's a big deal. Because if it's dirty, you're going to notice it. Amen. So you suffer long and you're kind, but don't vaunt yourself. Don't puff yourself up. What she's doing may be, in many respects, much greater effort than what you're doing at your job. And I'll leave it with that. So, I mean, because Father's Day is coming, so you know, got to leave some room there, right? Okay. All right, look here in the passage again, and notice that in verse 5, it doth not behave itself unseemly. There's good stuff to say about that, but continue. Seeketh not her own. Charity seeketh not her own. In other words, it's not about me, it's about you. The Bible says, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." That's 1 Corinthians 10:24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. You know, this is the incredible thing about moms. And I see some that are here that are going to be moms for the first time in the near future. And you're going to see something. You're going to find out something about yourself that you didn't know. You are just made to do for others and to give of yourself continually. I don't get that. I mean, you know, there was people say, I don't understand women. One guy had a 1,000-page book, and he says, everything I understand about women, you hold it up, and every page is blank. I mean, just don't get it. You don't get it. I don't get it. But, I mean, there's something that's amazing. That switch turns on when that baby comes, and it is now all about others. Listen, for the rest of your life. Your husband wanted it to be all about him, but that baby comes and you become a mom. The world changes from now on. I mean, really, if you go to Proverbs chapter 31, which is about the virtuous woman, and you read from verse 10 to verse 31, that woman is doing something for others all day long, every day, and into the night and before sunrise. It's all about others. It's about her children. It's about her husband. It's about the family. It's about the people that work there. It's about the poor people who are nearby. She's not doing anything for herself. Totally selfless. That is a remarkable thing. And it's something that I don't get, but I appreciate. So you know what happens? Because you're so used to your wife always being there for you, you're so used to your mother always being there for you, always selflessly doing things, it's easy after a period of time to take her selflessness for granted and keep seeking your own because of what she's done for you. It's easy to seek your own when she's already seeking your own for you. I know that you understand what I'm saying. You just kind of fall into the groove when you're at home. You know something? We shouldn't be seeking our own. We should be seeking her wealth. You know what? We shouldn't have to wait until the second Sunday in May once each year to go, oh, by the way, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I mean, so today is that day, so we're gonna do it up good. If you haven't bought her flowers yet, there are a few left at HEB on Saratoga. You should go by there and get some. You know, really and truly, make it a point to seek her well-being, her wealth, her benevolence, her honor on a regular basis. Yeah, do that regularly, often. I've learned this. The more you do those nice things, the greater her selflessness. I mean, you don't do this for selfish reasons, okay? But the more you pour into appreciating her, loving her with charity, letting the Lord work in you to love her as Christ loves the church, and you make it about her, there's a dividend in that. Yeah, you don't do it for that reason, but it's there. One person here believes that. Did you hear that amen? Yeah, I even know who it came from, and his wife is over there beaming. And you know what? You rest of you guys had an opportunity, and you just dropped the ball. You want me to give you another chance? Yeah, all right, let's try it again. You know what you ought to be doing throughout the year? You ought to be not seeking your own. You ought to be seeking her welfare and her benevolence and her honor. Amen. Oh, yeah, now that the wives, you know what she's doing? She's over there going, he had to make you do that. You should have been like that other guy and done it on the first. Yeah. Then I'd be beaming like his wife is beaming now because she gets it twice and I only got it once. And if he hadn't talked you into it, we wouldn't be doing this. Look, I didn't mean to start an argument with you guys. Okay, trying to help you out here. What else about charity? Oh, come up here real quick, Cade. I got to have a witness. No, I'm not. This is for telling on me, not telling on you. Come on up here. Okay. Yeah, you're safe. You're very safe. All right. So here's. Do I have my Bible's kind of marked a little bit? A little bit. Okay. Is this mic on? Yeah. Just. Beep. Yep. It is. No. Okay. So you see, I've got things on here. There's one place in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that I have really, really right boxed in, highlighted, big ink on it. Right. What does it say?
It says, "Is not easily provoked."
Okay. You know what my problem is? Is not easily provoked. I put this big box around there like that, and then I wrote a note to myself, which I have since scratched out so nobody else would know what I said to myself. But basically, this is for you, for me, is not easily provoked. Is there anybody? You don't have to raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit minister between us. Is there anybody else in here that could say, you know what, I'm easily provoked. She doesn't have to say much, and I'm... Okay, yep, I see. You know what, you got there, you have a few head nods. You know what, here's what happens. As we become more familiar with each other and our families, As we become more familiar with each other in our families, it's more likely that certain little things we do and say begin to annoy others. Are you thinking about that thing that goes on at your house? All right. You want to be careful to not let that little thing that mom does, or those little things that mom says, or the way mom does or says something, provoke you to react or respond the way you've been acting and responding negatively. I mean, it just happened day before yesterday. I was very familiar ground here. Okay, I was like, what'd you do that for? If this is real charity, you know, I don't mean to get up here and confess my sins publicly. I'm just telling you, we have a way that those little things, you know what is not demonstrated with that attitude? Charity. But when there's love, listen, there is no, get this, human being, there is no human being on this earth that loves you as much as your mother. Nobody. So if you get testy around her and you still want her to believe that you love her with charity, those are conflicting messages. So if you hear that little thing that she says or does, you know what? Remember, this is not an intentional act of malice towards you or an intention to irritate you. It's just the way she is. It's just the way she is. And God love her. That's the woman you married, and that's the mother you got. So don't get so easily provoked. You know what? We live in a generation now where people are just looking for a reason to get offended. They go to the internet and get involved in chats just so they can find somebody to get mad at. So we're already jacked up and revved up, and you've been driving in traffic and stressed at work, and you got 1,000 other things going through your head. The last person in the world you want to be having that attitude with is the woman that you married or the mother that you've got. Let it go when you get to the house and put the big old charity cape. So I've got a Superman cape that's sitting there at home that was given to me for my birthday. I'm going to change the thing on the back there. And you put that on, and if you're having trouble with this, and you put the super charity cape on, you go home and you tell that woman when you get home, the traffic was bad, the boss was bad, my attitude is bad, but I love you. And even those little things you do. And say, Listen, it should take a lot more than a little thing to get under your skin. It really should. You should not be easily provoked. The Bible says in Colossians 3:14, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And you should have a perfect relationship with that woman that you call mom. That's your mother. Husbands, that's your wife. All right. And then you come on down here and you see verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Those are significant, but I want you to see verse 8, charity what? Never faileth. Never. Charity never faileth. In every situation and in every circumstance, your love for your mom or your love for your wife should never fail. If it's charity. Now, if it's one of the love languages, all right, you can only go so far with that. The touch may turn into a... Well, still physical. To never fail. There ought to be some work, children, in your life, save children. There ought to be some work, husbands, in us by the Spirit of God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that changes our lives and gives us the capacity to love beyond our own ability. To give us a love that truly never fails. Now you say, well, I'm not knocking it out 100% of the time. Hey, are you better than you were? Are you better than you were? That's the thing. If you're not where you want to be with it, but you're getting better with that, do you know something? She sees the change in you. And you might say, it doesn't fail as often now as it did in the past. And by God's grace, we're going to get it to the point where it never fails. Because charity, we fail. Charity never fails. And of all things that I want in my heart for my spouse and what we should want for our wives, what we should want for our mothers, it is a love, listen, that can do verse 7. Bear all things. Believe all things. Hope all things. And endure all things. You know why? Because she does that for you. I have seen mothers bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things for their children. I have. While their children continue to selfishly live their lives for themselves, or even worse, destroy their lives with sin. Mom's always there. Mom's always there. Bearing all things, hoping all things, enduring all things, believing all things. What do you mean, believing all things? She's on her knees every day praying for you. Begging God that you'll get in line with the Lord, get right with God. You don't see it. She doesn't let you see that private conversation that she has with the Lord. She doesn't, you know why? She doesn't want you to see the tears. You'll take it wrong. You'll think she's disappointed in you. And she may be to some degree. But the thing that's driving her to her knees is not disappointment. If it was disappointment, she'd just write you off. It's not disappointment. You know what it is? She believes that God one day will answer her prayers, even if it's after her lifetime, for you to get in the right relationship with God, or stay in the right relationship with God, or do the right thing as you're growing. That's what moms do. It's like I said, it's one of those incomprehensible things. Somehow or another, a saved mother gets that in her, and all of her being is, I'll put up with anything. For as long as I have to, for this guy that I married or this child that I had, be in a right relationship with the Lord. Now, if she can do that, you know what? We should be able to do that for her. Amen. To hope all things and endure all things and believe all things and bear all things for her. Mom is always there for us. It seemed that the least we could do is be there for Mom. And I'll tell you what, honestly, you look at that and you say, oh, preacher, man, he said, I'm so under so much conviction here. I haven't been that way with my mom and I hadn't been that way with my wife. You can be. This is charity. This is not a score that says, oh, there's your grade and you have to live with that grade. Yeah. You say, oh, if I think about what you're talking about here in this passage of Scripture today, I get a D or an F or whatever. Okay. Well, you've made an honest assessment. But you know what? Tomorrow you can have a C. A C is an improvement. Hello? And you know what? If you're going in that direction, eventually you can become an A student of charity. Well, I'll tell you, I know one woman in this world that sure would appreciate that. Absolutely appreciate that. Never make it your goal. Make it your goal. Beginning today, if it hadn't been before now, to never let your love fail. Never let it fail. Check yourself. When you feel that provoking coming on, or you've been talking about yourself, you know, or you've been seeking your own, and it's kind of more one-sided, check yourself. Sort yourself out. Say, you know what? I'm making this more about me than I'm making this about her. I need to change that. And then call on God and say, God, the thing I need is more charity. I don't need a different mom. I don't need a different wife. I just need more charity. Do you understand that? Sometimes you get the idea, if I could just change. No. Change you. Until you've come to a place where your charity never faileth, you won't know how good she is. But when your charity comes to this point where it's not failing, you take over there, you may find that you've got a completely different attitude about that person you call mama. Or that person you call bride. Or sweetheart. It's charity. That's what it is. And I know there are people sitting here today. There are people who are not sitting here but who are related to you because your mom's not here perhaps. But I'm going to tell you what. They would absolutely beam if the love coming forth from you is this love language. This that you've read in here in the Scripture. That Jesus Christ puts in the heart of His children. It's never satisfying to just let the love be any ordinary love that any guy on the street could offer, any child on the street could offer. We're looking for divine love, something called charity. How you express that doesn't have to do with what you're doing or what you're saying. It has to do with these characteristics in you that change when God changes you. The Bible's love language for mom is charity. That's the word. It runs deeper than the outward manifestations of your own love. And it comes from the Spirit of God, and it starts deep down in your heart. And I would say today, for the children that are here, take what you've heard and make this your objective for the rest of your life while you have your mama on this earth. And for husbands, I say, make this objective yours in your life. I'll make this the objective in my life. I know somebody who deserves this kind of love, and I want to be able to give it to her. By God's grace, we should make that our choice. Now, you want to know something? The little gifts and things that we give will never compare. They're nice, and they should be done, but they'll never compare with this. This is the greatest gift in the world you can give to the woman you love. Her love language. The Bible's love language. God's love language. Charity. I commend you to God and the Word of God. Father, we're thankful today to be able to honor our mothers, and I'm praying in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will take these words from the Scripture and minister them to our people that are here today. You know, I pray, Father, also that our, I believe you have ministered, you ministered to me, I believe you have ministered the words in answer to the prayer we prayed. Here's what I pray now. My prayer, Father, now is that we will respond to the things that you've discussed with us today. Your Holy Spirit's moved here with great liberty, and our lives have been affected by what we've heard. My prayer is that people that are here who heard them, who needed what they've heard, will acknowledge what you've shown us and then respond in a way, Lord, that makes a life-changing difference in a relationship with mom or with a relationship with our wives. We ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I didn't preach a message on salvation, but if you're looking for Jesus, I can show you where he is in the Scripture. You see me in the foyer afterwards. And the second thing I would say is this. If you're here today and God's spoken to your heart, you do what you and God would have you to do about how you respond. Some people love to come to an altar. Do that if that's how the Lord's leading you. Some people just make an altar out of their seat. Do that if that's how the Lord's leading you. Some people wait till they get home and take what they've heard and begin to change in accordance with that. If that's how the Lord's leading you, you simply follow the Lord how he's leading your life, and you make the changes he's showing you to make. He'll be pleased, and so will that very special woman in your life. Father, help us in this invitation to do as you please, for Jesus' sake. Amen.